Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the life that you give. The life you give to us and the life that you gave for us. Bless us as we proclaim your word. May we hear and understand and apply it. We thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you for this world that you have created. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how it got past me. October the 2nd, a very important day on the yearly calendar. World Farm Animal Day. A day dedicated to exposing, mourning, and memorializing the needless suffering and death of 50 billion innocent feeling animals in factory farms and slaughterhouses. In the U.S., as much as 10 billion animals are slaughtered yearly. Why this October 2nd is an important day, it's said that 9 out of 10 Americans believe that as long as animals are killed for food, they are owed a humane treatment. And Congress evidently believes the same thing, as they have made regulations on how downed animals are to be treated. We should euthanize them. We shouldn't drag them by chains to the killing floor like that's sometimes done. We shouldn't scald them alive and let them drown in their own blood. We should not put them in small cages, 5 to 7 birds in cages the size of a folded newspaper, tearing at their feathers and their feet. We should not starve them to death so that they can lay more eggs. Government regulations would not want us to crowd them in trucks so that they can die in transit. And the government doesn't want safe meat safety issues and pollution of water and air from the various discharges from all of those animals that finds itself in the massive waste runoffs. Well, a last sermon. You might want to hear the last sermon after that. The last sermon in our series, Care for Our Maker and His Makings, we have been covering the environment and stewardship. And we talked about the last time the challenges of man and how it's difficult for man to limit himself. But yet God Himself limited Himself, coming to our world and becoming man and dying for us. That's the God we serve. Our challenge today, and what we're going to talk about today, you see the title of my message listed in your bulletin. We're going to talk about Animal Planet and the challenge of dominion. Now, I will tell you that I will not be finished at 12:30. So just relax. I want you to get the message. I will tell you in advance that it will appear, if you go to sleep, you'll miss a lot. It's going to seem like I have 2 sermons rather than 1, but it's 1. So I ask you to pay attention and stay awake. It's very, very important. What I'm going to say at the end does connect with what I'm saying now about animals. May not seem like it, but it's what I found in my studies. Animals are important to our world. Wouldn't you say amen to that? They're not just for eating. In fact, when you read the book of Genesis, they were not for eating. Animals are our friends. They are our companions, and dare I say, they are part of the family. They give so much to our world. Service. They work with those who have disabilities. In years past, they have been messengers. They have been carrier pigeons carrying messages. They are involved in rescues. They're even bomb-sniffing dogs. They track, you have blood tracking. If there's a lost person, they track. And a few other things that they do. And I'm going to ask you if you would help me. Because I know that you know that animals do a whole lot more, and I want to get some of your ideas. So, Frank, come on and help me out. You can carry the microphone around. If you'll raise your hand, give me some other ideas of what animals do for us. Anyone that I left off? I meant purposely left off the list. Yes, right here in the front.
They give unconditional love.
Unconditional.
Dogs.
That's right. Thanks, Joyce. That's absolutely wonderful. Unconditional love. Raise your hand, someone else. What do animals do for us? Yes. Company. Absolutely. Company. Lady right there had her hand up. And
the rooster, like an alarm clock. They wake up in the morning.
You know, no one said that. That's a great one. They can be like an alarm clock. That's absolutely great. Yes.
Some of them protect us, keep us from harm.
Absolutely. Janet, did you have your hand? Okay, and Dorothy up front here, and then we have a few in the back.
They give us music.
They give us music. Yeah, I didn't, you know, that was, yeah, that's a good one. I'm coming up with some, there were some new ones here I didn't think of.
When you stroke their fur, they lower your blood pressure.
Well, I better get some real quick. I need some now. I need some right now. Lower your blood pressure.
Said this before. They help the blind and the elderly.
That's absolutely right. Absolutely. In the back. A few in the back. And I'm not going to even get all of them. There's so many things that they do for us. Shirley?
Yes. They make us feel needed when we're alone. We all need to be needed.
That's absolutely.
Beasts of burden and for transportation.
That's right. Absolutely. Transportation. You remember horses? That's the only way around one time. That's right.
They're an important integral part of our environment.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Man's best friend.
Man's best friend. And one more up. Okay, right back there. And then I'm going to have you one up front here. And then we'll. Okay, right here, Frank. And then. Okay, get Tim on the way up. And then. And we'll.
Yeah, we have the story in the Bible of Balaam with his donkey. He actually saved his life from the angel of the Lord.
That's right. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Good story. Right. Last comment right here.
They're good listeners.
What was that?
They're good listeners.
That's great. They're good listeners. Did you get that? Good listeners. They don't interrupt, do they? We have a guest here today. In fact, have you been following the landslide in La Jolla? I read the account of that. Do you know that the animals started howling before the slide happened? They're good signals for earthquakes and the various things that will happen to it. So watch animals and their reactions. In my Sabbath school class, a couple of good friends of mine, they have they followed me here to Fallbrook from Valley Center, and they're good friends of mine, and they sit in my Sabbath school class and help me out. I think I've gone over the doctrines many times with them, but they're my good friends. If you've ever stopped by my class, I really don't recommend that you bring dogs to church. But we have a dog that comes to church, and that dog, Fran and Paul, come on up. Come on up. These are my good friends, and they have. Come on, Paul. Paul and Fran have had a animal clinic for 33 years and have worked in veterinarian medicine. Paul is a veterinarian for 51 years. Isn't that wonderful? Paul used to take care of large animals. Now, who do we have here, Fran?
This is Winston Churchill.
This is Winston Churchill. You love that name? Don't you love that name? Now, how long has Winston been a part of your family? Paul, how long has Winston?
1 year last month.
Okay, 1 year last month. Tell me, what's special about, what does Winston do during the week?
He visits Palomar Hospital every Thursday and visits patients. He goes from the 10th, from the 9th floor down to the 3rd floor and comforts them.
Isn't that wonderful? That's a trained service dog that visits hospitals, and that's what Paul and Fran does every week, visiting patients, and they just light up and when they see Winston, Winston goes over, and that's why when you see him, he'll want you to pet him, because that's what he does. He's trained so that people can pet him. That's why we allow him in our Sabbath school class. Now, don't you bring your dog to church. All right? He's trained. He's not going to mess up the office, all right? He's a service dog. So he goes everywhere with them, and he can go in stores. He has his badge. He has his badge on here so that he can get in the hospital and with his picture in the various places. Isn't that great? Well, thank you, Paul and Fran, for what you do. And I know that you have helped a lot of people by bringing Winston Churchill in to see him. So thank you so much for what you do. Can you give them a round of applause for what they do? Thank you. Animals are very important. The Jews put a real stress on the proper care of animals. It was wrong to the Jews to be cruel to defenseless animals. And when you read the Bible, of course, you know that the heroes of the Bible cared for animals. Moses, Jacob, David, you could pick a lot more out. They all cared for animals. They were shepherds, most of them. Rebecca in Genesis 24, it shows her kindness, but her kindness was exhibited to animals, to camels, watering the camels. Animals, this is throughout the scriptures. Do you know that Exodus 20, that all Seventh-day Adventists know, Exodus 20 starting at verse 8, when you do the Sabbath command, that it talks about your manservant and your maidservant. And guess who else is supposed to rest? The cattle, the animals. That's right. They are embedded in the fourth commandment. They are to rest, your cattle, on the Sabbath. Animals are very important to God and to the scriptures. The scripture that was read is a very important scripture in Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 through 28. There's a couple of words that show up, like Donald Dawkins says, a couple of times. God gives to man dominion. That's a word that you'll see. Over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle and over all the creeping things that creep. It says that twice to put the emphasis. And so that is very important. God has given man dominion, dominance, rule over all the animals. You think God wanted us to take care of them or treat them bad when he gave us dominion? To take care. Dominion, care. But I tell you, if you go through the history, we've not been kind to animals. When you study Rome and go into where the New Testament comes out of, you find that Rome had these large colosseums, the Circus Maximus, and they would have animals fighting other animals. You know, that was a sport for them. They'd have animals fighting people, killing people, really. Especially if you were a criminal, they'd put you in the arena and they'd all sit out there and watch while an animal would just maul you to death. That's the history of the New Testament. So the world has not always treated animals properly. I'm talking about the environment and stewardship, animal planet and challenge of dominion. Animals, even today, cover... Yeah, I'm always careful how I talk about animals, because animals are very precious to people. And there's some strange ideas about animals. There's some people who love animals and hate people. And that doesn't... Now, think about that. That doesn't make sense, does it? Hitler was like that. Hitler loved animals. But his record with people is not very good. PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I'm just giving you some diverse views about how people deal with animals. PETA once wrote a letter to the late Chairman Arafat of the PLO. You might remember him. They wrote a letter to Chairman Arafat saying, when you blow up a bus full of Israelis, would you try not to hurt a donkey? That's what PETA wrote. I think you get my drift. There's all kinds of ideas, and some are strange regarding how people feel about animals. One lady, 95 years old, from Hutchinson, Kansas, left. She had about $500,000 estate, and she left it to the animal homeless shelter. And so people have strong love and opinions for animals. Not long ago, Leona Helmsley, the queen of mean from New York, a real estate tycoon, died and left her pooch $12 million. So people have strong reactions regarding animals. And then I found this site as I was surveying and working on this sermon, a site for Fellowship of Christian Hunters, which their motto is this: God bless your hunter's heart. Killing animals for Jesus feels good when man's feeling bad. Oh, mercy. I'm just picking out a few. And then there's another site that asks us not to eat us, talking about animals, because Jesus had a hidden love for animals and the apostles were vegetarians. One of you guys might have wrote that site. I don't know. Now, God has given us dominion over the animals, rule. But let me tell you something. There's a book out that I've been reading by Marvin Moore. And it's entitled, and I recommend it, because he's talking about something that I'm going to share something with you in just a minute. His book is entitled, Could It Really Happen? Sunday Laws, Economic Boycotts, Death Decrees, Religious Persecution in America. And he talks about something in there called dominion theology. Now, I want you to, if you're asleep, you got to wake up for this. Dominion theology, he talks about. What is that? Now, God has given to man dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and so on. There's a man by the name of John Rushdoony, who was born in 1916 in New York. He attended University of California at Berkeley, and then he went to the Pacific School of Religion and eventually became a Presbyterian minister. He worked in San Francisco with Chinese people, and eventually he was a prolific reader. And he came up with a theory after he read Genesis chapter 1 that we just read in verses 26 through 28. He came up with a theory that dominion meant more than just over the animals. Now, are you with me? If you're still with me, say amen. Dominion to him, he linked dominion with Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Now, most of you, without even turning there, know that that is the passage on the gospel commission, where Jesus tells us to go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? You know that passage, right? Now, Rushdoony linked the Genesis 1:26 passage that dealt with dominion over animals, and he linked it with Matthew 28, 19 and 20 and said that God really has given to man dominion over other men. Oh, now, I hope y'all with me. That belief has transferred down to many churches today. Now, God says, and I'm going to just say it right now, man does not have dominion over other men. Amen? Man does not have dominion over other men. But they have taken that idea and now say that man can have dominion over other men. And so they've come up with a philosophy which we hold that it's okay to triumph. To triumph. The Muslim faith believes in triumph. They believe that they have a message that the whole world needs to know and that the whole world should be Muslim. Christians have the same message. We believe that all people should be Christians. We have a message to tell to the world that all people should be Christians. So all people have a faith that somehow wants to triumph, wants to win. It's right. Wouldn't you agree? We all have that. The problem is, when you take that too far, and you want to abuse, and you want to persecute, to make someone agree with you. They take that, and they apply it to dominionism. I can dominate you. Because I'm right, I can dominate you. Now, we don't believe that as a church. Amen? I'm glad you said amen to that. We don't believe that. Let me read something because I need to hurry up. Those who hold the view, two people that are famous that you know about. One is Pat Robinson. You know Pat Robinson, 700 Club? I'm going to read a quote from him. This is not to be critical of, this point is not to be critical of other churches and religions. I want to let you know what people are out there, and people don't even know where they got some of the things they're thinking about. They don't even know where they got it from. Came from Rush Dooney, who was born in 1916 in New York. They don't even know where they get it from. This is what Pat Robinson said on the 700 Club. Repeal the First Amendment. God's plan is for his people, ladies and gentlemen, to take dominion. What is dominion? Well, dominion is lordship. God wants his people to reign and rule with him, but he is waiting for us to extend his dominion. And the Lord says, I'm going to let you redeem society. There will be a reformation. We are not going to stand for those coercive utopians in the Supreme Court and Washington ruling over us anymore. We're not going to stand for it. We're going to say we want freedom in this country and we want power. D. James Kennedy, just passed, maybe a month or so ago, had a ministry down in Coral Ridge, ministry down in Fort Lauderdale, had this to say about dominion. And he has talked about dominion. I've heard him talk about it. He says this: our job is to reclaim America for Christ, whatever the cost. As vice regents of God, we are to exercise godly dominion and influence over our neighborhoods, our schools, and our governments, our literature and art, our sports arenas, our entertainment media, our news media, our scientific endeavors, in short, over every aspect and institution of human society. Now, that's probably not bad if you have good intentions. But if you're not tolerant, and you don't like people who differ from you, and you're willing to push them and do anything for them to be what you think they ought to be, I challenge you to read Revelation chapter 13 of what's going to happen in these last days, and I guarantee you'll find in there religious dominance. Religious dominion. And God wants you to know today that no one is to have dominion over you but Jesus. Did you get that? Absolutely no one is to have dominion over you but Jesus. I want you to read some. I got to close. I just turn to Ecclesiastes. I want you to see this, then we'll end. Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. Ecclesiastes, third chapter. If you find Song of Solomon, you're close. Third chapter of Ecclesiastes. And we'll look at verses 18 through 21. While you're turning there, I'm going to read it for you. This is Solomon, the wise man, talking at the end of his life. And this is what he had to say. I said in my heart concerning the condition, Ecclesiastes 3, in verse starting at 18, concerning the conditions of the sons of men, God test them that they may see that they themselves are like, what, everybody? Animals. Or somebody's Bible said species, animals. For what happens to the sons of men also happens to animals. One thing befalls them, as one dies, so dies the other. Surely they all have one breath. Man has no advantage over animals, for all is vanity. All go to one place, all are from the dust and return to dust. Who knows the spirit of the sons of men, which goeth upward, and the spirit of the animal, which go down to the earth? You know what Solomon is saying? When it comes to death, if you have a dead person and a dead animal, you're the same. You can't tell no difference. They're both dead. But, you know what makes man different? Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ takes man and offers him eternal life. We're not, that's why we can have dominion over the animals. And that's why no man can have dominion over you, because it is God, Jesus, who gives us life. He is our Redeemer. He is our Creator. That's why He can have dominion over us. No person is to have dominion over you. Did you hear that? I want you to hear that. That's so important for these last days. Because when these people come up pushing their beliefs on the government and the world, you're going to have to be able to stand. Folks, it's coming. I mean, it's absolutely coming, the Bible says in Revelation 13. I have determined in my heart that Jesus, please give me what I need so that I can stand. Let no one have dominion over you. God's given us dominion over the animals. Let that be enough. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have dominion over us. You saved us, redeemed us. You're coming again for us. You're going to raise us up. Only you can do that. Lord, we're not like the animals. But Lord, if we don't give our hearts to you, we're no different than all the other animals. But yes, Lord, we say yes to you. We give our hearts anew to you, thanking you. And Lord, as we work through this earth, and you've given us dominion, help us to treat animals right. Help us to know that that's not right to treat them wrong. We thank you, Lord, for this church. We thank you for your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.